Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Episode 20 of the Monday Waffle podcast for season 2017. My name is Luke Shipway, and I'm alongside Jared Gardner today, and we're going to be hosting the program. Jared, how's it going?
It's going good, Luke. I'm looking forward to talking about round 20's action.
Yeah, we're going to be reviewing all the matches from round 20 in the West Australian Football League, as well as talking to Channel 7 Waffle commentator Mark Reddings about a host of different issues going on in the Waffle.
Yeah, well, we've had, because he's an expert on all things Waffle, that man, so we're going to ask him a few things. Subiaco, they've got 17 wins in a row, Luke, and then South Fremantle have now got 7 in a row. Is there a competition at the top spot now, or is it still Subiaco's to lose? We're going to go for the battle of fifth place. That's getting quite interesting down there. We're going to get him a Sandover medal tip. We're going to see what he thinks. How have the Eagles and Dockers new guys gone, as well as a controversial umpiring review? That's in store.
Plus his tips for round 21.
But before we have a chat to Mark, we have to go through the games first, Luke. And I'm going to start things off. Claremont took on Perth. And, well, on paper, it doesn't look like it was a very close game. Claremont easily won 20-13-133 to Perth's 5-4-34. 99-point win. But Perth... It's a strange stat, Luke. Perth are the highest scoring first quarter team in the Waffle, and it's hard to believe that, but they easily are the lowest scoring in the next three quarters, which kind of undoes them there. And again, in this game, they were leading by 5 points at quarter time, but then Claremont went and kicked 14 unanswered goals, which kind of undoes a 5-point lead, if you ask me. And Perth did not kick their final goal, their fifth final goal, until 15 minutes into the last term. So there was a huge drought there. Claremont, they finished with over 100 more disposals in that game, 54 extra marks, 20 more inside 50s, and had 33 scoring shots to 9. And
it was a game they had to win as well to stay in touch there in that fifth position race. So
they're just a game behind fifth-placed East Perth with games against South Fremantle, Swan Districts, and West Perth to finish the season. If they win all three, they could play finals. But a few good stats for some players. Reigning Sandover medalist Jai Bolton showed he's pretty much discovered his 2016 incredible form. 40 possessions, 14 marks, with 7 inside 50s and a goal to add to that. Tom Ledger, he got 29 possessions for Claremont, and the returning Ryan Neitz, he got 27. Bo Meister had a field day. He kicked 5 with 11 shots on goal, so it could have been more. For Perth, Curtis Chester kicked 3 of their 5 goals with 13 possessions and 7 marks.
If you like footy, you'll love us. It's the Monday Waffle.
Now we will have a look at the Subiaco vs Swan Districts matchup from Saturday. And despite missing a host of players, Subiaco were missing Kyle Horsley, Corey Adamson, Chris Phelan, Clancy Wheeler, to name a few. They were still able to defeat the Swans on Saturday by 29 points. And it could have been more if it wasn't for some inaccurate goal kicking from the Lions. The final score was 11-17-83 to 8-6-54. So, I mean, you see it right there, 11-17 for Subiaco. If they'd kicked straight, they would have been able to beat Swans by a more of a margin than 29 points.
You see 11-17, you'd expect just that those two numbers together make it look like it should be well over 100 points. Mm. But, yeah.
I mean, saying that, so the lead at three-quarter time was 37 points for Subiaco. Swan Districts battled harder in the last quarter to get it down to 29. I mean, it's kind of a different level that the Subiaco is playing on at the moment. Even when they're missing a host of players, still be able to play that well to defeat Swan Districts, who's in fourth position at the moment by 29 points, is a good effort. And some of the standout players, I'm sure Mark Rennings is going to mention it later. Liam Ryan, 5 goals, 19 touches, 8 marks. Adam Cockey had a good game for them, stepping up with the midfielders away here, 31 touches. Lachlan Delahunty continues his good form in the ruck. He's a very mobile ruckman. He had 24 disposals, 13 marks and 11 hitouts and 2 goals. Lee Kitchen also chimed in with 27 touches. And for Swan Districts, Corey Galt, he battled hard in the ruck. He had 27 touches, 9 marks, 30 hitouts and 3 goals. So a really, really impressive game for him. And down back, Kirk Ugle had 25 disposals and 7 marks.
Look, I say these things, but I don't write them. Pop the confetti, I'm Dennis Cometti. Listen to the Monday Waffle.
Oh, yeah. Come on.
Moving to the South Fremantle versus East Fremantle game, a much more competitive outfit for East Fremantle this week. but still went down to South Freo, recording their seventh straight win, 22-9, 141 to 15-6, 96. And East Fremantle certainly were far more committed and looked capable of being vastly more competitive. But South Fremantle went on goal-kicking sprees at the end of the opening three quarters, which just blew out the lead. The victory, as I said, was the seventh straight for South Freo, with the Bulldogs going to a 14-4 record, and that means they've locked in the second place, Luke, which means they host the qualifying final and they get the double finals chance. So it's all set there, but because you'd think they won't take the foot off the pedal, because spots, people want spots in that team, they're going to play their best no matter what to keep themselves locked into that team. Brock Higgins, he shone for South Fremantle in his second straight best on ground performance, and it was his 99th game. He ended with 22 possessions, 52 hitouts, 8 inside 50s, 6 tackles, 4 marks. Pretty all-round game for the big man. South Fremantle's midfielders, therefore, turned out to have a pretty good game because of him. Shane Hockey got 31 touches, and Tim Kelly had 30 himself, which I hope Mark Reddings talks about with a Sandover tip, because that guy has having...
He's got to be in the conversation, you would
absolutely.
Think.
Absolutely. And Ben Saunders kicked 3 goals, and Luke, in a milestone game.
His 100th game for the club and in the Waffles, so good effort to Ben Saunders there, and he's obviously hitting the scoreboard, and he's had a very good year. I think he's in the top 10 in the goal kicking in the Waffles, so he's looking good.
And hopefully he takes a lot more screamers, because he's a very good mark, that man.
Don't forget to go to the Monday Waffle Facebook page and throw us a like and follow us on Twitter.
Now, as we mentioned before, the battle of fifth place is heating up. It looks like the top four is kind of locked away. And this was the battle between two of the teams that will be vying for that fifth position, East Perth versus West Perth. And, geez, East Perth kicked 15 consecutive goals to set up an 84-point win on Saturday. The final score was 21-13, 139 to 8-7, 55 for West Perth. West Perth only kicked one behind in both the second and third quarter combined.
Gosh.
Only one behind. So it was... They got off to a reasonable start, West Perth, but just could not hold on and didn't play very well in the second and third quarter. East Perth was able to improve to an 8-9 record and sit in fifth position now over West Perth on percentage. West Perth were missing a host of players, including Andrew Strike, among others. But, East Perth, it was the West Coast Eagles representatives for them that kind of took over. Nathan Vardy made his Waffle debut after playing in the Eagles squad the whole year. He had 12 touches, 17 hitouts, and 2 goals. Fraser McInnes, his ruck partner, he had 18 touches, 8 marks, 19 hitouts, and 2 goals. Nathan Blee in the midfield, he had 27 touches. Pat McGinnity had 25, and Sherrod Wellingham had 23. For West Perth, with the host of players out, they were able to bleed some young blood into their lineup. Oscar Allen.
Yeah, keep an eye on this kid. On draft night, all rumours that we're hearing is he's quite a favourable talent. Didn't do an outstanding job in this game, but debut
in league footy. He's playing against the big boys now, so take him a few games to get used to that.
Only 8 touches, but and a behind, but give
5 marks. It's not bad.
I know
he's a key position player. Sometimes they take a bit more time to develop than the smaller, more midfield types. Other guys for West Perth, Aiden Lynch, 23 touches, 6 marks, 2 goals. Shane Nelson continues to rack up disposals like he does every game, 29 touches. And then also Meadows for West Perth had 24. We're now joined on the Monday Waffle podcast by Channel 7 Waffle commentator Mark Reddings. Mark, thanks for taking time out of your Monday and having a chat to us.
Pleasure, gentlemen.
So, Mark, we'll start with Subiaco. They're 17 wins in a row, but South Freo's had 7 in a row. Are there a bit of competition there for the flag favourite, or is it still kind of Subi?
Well, Subiaco, look at them on the table. They're 3 games clear, so it's hard to see them being beaten for the flag, but South Fremantle probably the obvious danger. East Perth starting to run into some form. But Subiaco, as you said, just dominant again. Swan District's pretty game in defeat, but in the end, 29 points in arrears of Subiaco, and Liam Ryan, again, the star of the show with 5 goals, so he was terrific. Yeah, Subiaco, no doubt the team to beat. East Perth, I was pretty impressed with on Saturday as well. West Perth have completely fallen away in the second half of the year, and East Perth getting some AFL-listed players back in the side, looking like they could do some damage in September.
talking about East Perth and West Perth there, it looks like the top four is kind of shored up. It's that battle for the fifth position that's going to go on between East Perth, West Perth and Claremont. Are you back in East Perth to take that fifth position?
Well, what we saw on Saturday on Seven's telecast, they were just outstanding. They had so much of the footy guys, like Paddy McGinnity, terrific, a mix of youth and experience, and they look like a team that is starting to find form at the right end of the season. South Fremantle, look, don't discount them. They continue to find ways to kick big scores, 22 goals on the weekend. Shaw and Saunders, 7 between them, and that's despite some outstanding defence by Matthew Jupp, who continues to be a pillar of strength in defence. Unfortunately, just hadn't had much support. I spoke to him the other day, and he'd love to get some more players back in the system, but Jupp, he could be even the fairest and best at East Fremantle this year, but they've had so many injuries that East Fremantle, well, they're off the bottom of the table, let's just say that, because of percentage, they jump ahead of Perth. But South Fremantle, once again, far too classy in that derby.
You mentioned recently for East Perth getting back some AFL-listed players. Well, can we talk about the other way around? So the AFL players are getting some WAFL players who have gone up. So how do you rate the performances of players such as Sean Darcy, Luke Ryan, Partington?
Yeah, certainly. Luke Ryan will be the NAB Rising Star tomorrow, so that's an indication of how far he's come. Partington was okay for West Coast yesterday, but he's still at the early stages of his career. So there's some young players coming through, no question about that. Now, look, Francis Watson's one player who might end up, maybe not this year, but certainly if he keeps his body sound for West Coast going forward. So there's a few players in the WAFL pressing, but in terms of this week, I think tomorrow it'll be Luke Ryan's name who will be up in lights given what he achieved on Saturday night against the Gold Coast. He was really impressive.
So three rounds left in the WAFL competition. Sandover tip, who are you backing? I mean, this, obviously Subiaco and South Fremantle, they've been the stronger teams. Will it be a player from one of those teams?
Yeah, quite possibly, although sometimes players pinch votes off each other. Tim Kelly's had a really good season for South, so you'd think he'd be a chance to poll well. Hayden Slaughter as well from South Fremantle, outstanding. But Subiaco, if the players that continue to get the footy can make an impact, we know that guys like Lee Kitchen get a lot of the footy, and we know that some of their midfielders are outstanding, including Kyle Horsley, who missed Saturday. But they've got the nucleus of lots of big vote winners there. But I'm going with Tim Kelly, just by pure virtue of the class he shows. He's an eye-catching player as well.
Now, we have to get a bit serious here. On Friday, John Townsend wrote for The West that there's going to be an umpiring review into the WAFL. Can we get your comment on that?
Well, to be honest with you, the games we've seen, I mean, there's always going to be decisions that aren't likely to win the favour of either sets of supporters, but I haven't thought it was such a problem that there was a review required. But I guess that's internally, there may be some issues. I know they've got about five umpires who've got about 100 games experience next to their name, so perhaps the expectations are that they would produce more consistent performances. But that's something that, to be honest with you, given what we've seen, I certainly wouldn't have said that umpiring is in a disastrous state. And we know how tough a job it is, and from what I've witnessed in only the seven games we've done, that they've been adequate. But I'm sure, as everything, there's room for improvement. Not only Darryl Sinclair and his team will be under the microscope and scrutiny for how they're tracking at the moment, because obviously the next 6 or 7 weeks very important with teams and players hoping that they get their decisions right.
Just to finish off, Mark, we'll just run through the games for round 21 and get your tips on them, starting with Claremont and South Fremantle.
Yeah, Tigers have to win this, don't they? They're in seventh position. Their percentage isn't bad, but there's still a game outside the top five. South Fremantle look almost certain now to be in second position at the end of the home and away season. Probably you think South Fremantle with the class to get the job done there. If they do that, the Tigers' year is over.
And then West Perth versus East Fremantle.
West Perth have really fallen away. This might be East Fremantle's best chance for their third win of the season. Having said that, West Perth still with a flicker, still with a pulse, so they are just percentage outside the top five. So the Falcons to win a pretty tight game against the Sharks.
And how about East Perth versus Swans?
East Perth will be winning that. From what I've seen, East Perth outstanding last weekend, 21 goals they kicked. So Swan District's always very brave. They are in fourth position, but I'm thinking that it'll be East Perth who continue to keep moving towards September with some really good form.
And to round the round off, Peel versus Perth.
Wish I could say Perth, but I think Peel, far too classy for them playing at home. It's going to be a really tough task for the Demons. So could be a big margin for the Thunder on the weekend.
Well, thanks a lot, Mark, for joining us on the Monday Waffle, and hope you have a good rest of your week.
You too, gents. Thanks for your support.
you're loving the Monday Waffle podcast, make sure you head to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Monday Waffle, for more awesome content. And while you're there, give us a like.
Looking at the West Australian Football League ladder as we head into round 21, nothing's changed on the top of the ladder there. Subiaco are on top with 17 wins and one loss. South Fremantle in second. They've won seven straight now. They have 14 wins and four losses. And this is where it evens up a bit. The third and fourth position, they're tied on games won. Peel Thunder and Swan Districts have both won 10 games, but Peel is ahead by percentage. In fifth position, you have East Perth on 8 wins, and they're ahead of West Perth on percentage, who are in sixth. West Perth also have 8 wins. Claremont is in 7th on 7 wins, and then down the bottom, East Fremantle and Perth, they've both only won 2 games, and East Fremantle is just ahead of Perth on percentage, keeping themselves off the bottom of the ladder at the moment, I will say.
So just a recap of the games that are coming up this weekend for round 21 and where you'll find them at what times. So all four games will be on Saturday, the 12th of August, all kicking off at 2:15. East Perth will be at Leaderville Oval when they take on Swan Districts. Peel Thunder and Perth will be at Bendigo Bank Stadium. Claremont will be at home versus South Fremantle at Claremont Oval. And West Perth versus East Fremantle will be at HBF Arena.
And Jared, round 21 looking like it will be another excellent game, excellent round of footy in the West Australian Football League. A lot of things are tightening up there from when you're looking at that fifth position, and it's going to be interesting to see over these last final rounds who comes out on top.
Well, yeah, it's the battle of fifth versus the battle of the wooden spoon, really. Which one? They're both heating up, like you say. And then also, fun fact, Subiaco can't win this week. They're on the bye, so they can't go to 18 straight wins.
Well, we just have to wait a week. Then I'm sure they'll probably will go to 18 straight. And It's good for Subiaco. They're missing a lot of players at the moment, so they get a bye round to rest up heading into finals. Likely need any more help.
No, but, they need hindrances, if anything, for the rest of the teams to catch up.
Exactly. Well, that's it for episode 20 of the Monday Waffle podcast. My name is Luke Shipway.
I've been Jared Gardner. And thanks for listening
to the Monday Waffle.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.